Well, good morning, church, and happy Mother's Day. In particular, if you will allow me a moment of personal privilege, a happy Mother's Day to my favorite two mothers, one being my wife, Kelly, the mother of our children, who is an amazing, amazing mother in so many ways, and also my mom, Ellie, who's here from California. And so this morning, we're so glad that you are both here. Happy Mother's Day to you both. That reminds me, I still need to get flowers. It is my incredible privilege to introduce to you this morning our very special guest, our guest preacher for this morning, Reverend Dr. Stephen Cady, who is the brand new president of Bright Divinity School just across the street. UCC and Bright have a long storied history together of mutual support, of partnering together to train and prepare the next generation of leaders in the church, and I'm so thankful to be able to continue that relationship in the days and years ahead. Dr. Cady most recently served as the senior pastor of Asbury United Methodist Church in Rochester, New York. He and his wife, Emily, have three children, and they are still in Rochester finishing up the school year, and we'll be joining him here later this summer. Just last month, not long after starting his role at Bright, he was inducted into the Martin Luther King Jr. Collegium of Scholars and Preachers at Morehouse College, which is an unbelievable honor. And in just a few moments, you are going to hear why. He is an incredible preacher, pastoral and prophetic in the same time, genuine and honest, and just we are in for a treat. So will you help me, church? Welcome Reverend Dr. Stephen Cady.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. I'm reading from the 17th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse. Feel free to follow along in your pew Bibles if you'd like to. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given them to me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one who was destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through your word, that they may all be one. The word of God for the people of God.
It is such an honor to be with you today. As I said, and after my first week here is even more true, 2 months in, I can't go a day without someone telling me some wonderful thing that University Christian Church is doing. Thank you for the congregation that you are. Thank you for the way that you live in this community. Thank you for, in the midst of this divided world, offering a third way. It is truly an honor to be with you and among you. I also want to say thank you on behalf of Bright Divinity School for all of the support that you have given us. Certainly the financial support is always appreciated, but I am also grateful for your prayers and for your witness. Together, we just might be able to change the world, and I am grateful to be along for the ride with you. I also want to say thank you to Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman. He is one of the greats, and I am humbled and honored to stand in your pulpit. Thank you. It is. I was given the advice when I first started in ministry that there are only 3 days that you can't miss: Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. So I'm particularly humbled to be here on this particular day, and I pray that whatever I lack, the Spirit might fill. And with that, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How far back can you remember? Now, maybe you're one of those memory savants who can go all the way back to the birth canal. Bless you. Or maybe you're the other extreme and you don't even know how you wound up here this morning. Fear not. You are safe. I'd imagine that most of us, though, fall somewhere in between on that continuum. We know how we got here this morning, but we, thank goodness, can't go all the way back to the birth canal. But if we try, we can at least get back to some of those early memories. Little faded with time, that time before time, some good, some bad. What's on your mind this morning? A house you used to live in. A person you loved, a pet you once had. Whatever happened to that ferret? How far back can you remember? The truth is, each of our memories are likely going to be at least a little different because we are different people with different experiences, different circumstances that brought us to this moment. But if we were somehow able to flip that little switch inside our head and turn on all of the memories, all of the experiences that are there, I would imagine that if we traced it back far enough, we would discover that we all basically started, that at least we all came into this world in much the same way. That though there might have been different circumstances and different locations and different experiences of relative health at that moment, none of us entered this world alone. It's just not possible. Which, for those of us who have struggled with loneliness later in life, can be easy to forget. We did not start alone. We only get by with a little help from our friends, and that is true from the very beginning. After all, human beings are basically useless when we are born. We can't roll over or lift up our heads. A monkey can climb on their first day. A horse can walk. A duck can swim, but we just lie there. We cry and eat and process what we eat, but that's basically it. No, in order to get here today, we needed someone there to care for us and feed us and change us, and if we were lucky, to show us a little love. Else we would not have made it. All of us need an advocate in the journey of life. Now, maybe that was the last moment we ever experienced the person who gave us birth. Or maybe they became our mother. Or maybe someone else blessedly, heroically, graciously stepped into that role and we saved the drama for them. Or maybe we never had someone we could point to. But the truth is, whether we were born with a silver spoon or no spoon at all, we all needed someone along the way to walk alongside us, to advocate for us, else we couldn't have made it thus far. And today is a day that we celebrate them, those people who have advocated for us throughout our life. Friends, today is Mother's Day. It's a beautiful day in which we pause to celebrate our mothers and those who have been like mothers to us. But for as beautiful as this day is, we also recognize that today can be hard. Not just because it's a day when our mothers drag us to church, sorry. But for those who have complications with motherhood, or with their mothers, today can be hard. For those who never knew their mothers, today can be hard. For those who are missing their mothers, today can be hard. For those who never liked or longed to be a mother, today can be hard. For those mothers who no longer have their children with whom to celebrate, today can be hard. Yet the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that whether they were our mothers or not, whether they're with us or not, we all have somebody in our life. We all have people in our life who have walked alongside us, seen or unseen, who made it possible for us to be here today, which among other things means we all have reason to celebrate. Because we would not be here were it not for those who came before. A few years ago, Emily, my wife, and one of my favorite mothers, I'm biased, gave me the gift of a subscription to Ancestry.com, which meant for the next few months, I did my best to try and explore my lopsided family tree, and I was able to go back a few generations until I got a little stuck and more than a little distracted, and then I stopped. But what I discovered was how quickly we forget what it took to get us to this moment. How many generations back can you recall? How many names can you go back and share? Even the best among us can go back, what, 10, 12, 13, 14. There were people who came before them who made it possible for us to be here today. People who advocated for them, who cared for them, and those who came before even them. Everybody to get us to this moment, to this place today. And however imperfectly, they shared what little they could in the moment they had to pass down more than just blue eyes. They could pass down what it meant to be alive. In a way, that's why we come to church, isn't it? To have that generational knowledge passed down from one generation to another, to learn together what it means to be fully alive. We come not because we are perfect, but because we recognize that we are more perfect together than we are apart. We come to remind each other that we don't have to think the same way, to face in the same direction. We come to remind each other what it means to be alive, to try and figure this out together. And then we share it as best we can, and then we trust that the next generation is going to help us see it even more clearly. We come to remember together. We read scripture on Sunday mornings together. Why? Because how else would we do it? The whole point of the Bible is for those generations who wrote each of the different books to share some experience of God with the next generation. They didn't do it perfectly, and we can learn something even as we try and go back and make sense of what they got wrong and what they got right. And we find God in the truth, because where there is truth, there is God. We come to remember together. We can hear it in the scripture lesson so beautifully read for today. See, Jesus in John's gospel at this moment is speaking on the night before he is arrested. And he's doing his best to try and go over everything that he wanted to make sure he shared with his disciples. He's got his boxes checked, his T's crossed, his I's dotted, and he's doing his best to make sure something has sunk in. He spent the last few chapters washing their feet and then reminding them of the new commandment that he was giving them, love one another. And then he was trying to tell them what it meant to live as a person of faith. I'll give you a hint. That is, love leads to life. That is the gospel in four words. Love leads to life. And finally, he gets to a point where he has no idea if any of it has sunk in, and so he just prays for the best. Maybe some of us have been there. Maybe some of us are there, on one side or the other. As children, of course, we know that there comes a moment when we want to assert our independence, to take or reject whatever it is that we've learned and go out on our own to try our best to make things work. But we forget sometimes that our independence, sink or swim, comes at a cost. That on the other side of that equation are the people who have advocated for us, our parents or loved ones or caregivers, somebody who has walked alongside us to that point and then, wanting nothing more than for us to succeed, has to let go. And trust that we will be okay. We might remember the mother who drops her daughter off at kindergarten or middle school or college or her first apartment and just prays for the best. That someone else will see in her what she has seen in her, that someone else will love her and care for her and be an advocate for her. That is what Jesus is praying for his disciples and for us in this passage. See, John's gospel is the last one written, 80 or so years after Jesus, enough time to really mess some things up in the early church. And John's writing to a people who are relatively stuck. That is, they had thought Jesus was coming back, and now they realize that he's not. They had been kicked out of the synagogue, and they were trying their best to find their way in a world when they couldn't quite figure out what it meant to live as people of faith without Jesus there to guide them. And so this passage was written for them. We can hear it in there. Jesus prays to God, protect them that they may be one as we are one. Protect them that they may be one as we are one. It's an interesting use of protection, isn't it? See, in our world, we think of protection as protection from. We build our fence or our wall, and we tell ourselves that is when we are most protected, when we are isolated from one another. That's what so much of our global policy is built on right now, isn't it? And yet Jesus is saying something very different. He's saying that we are to find protection not from one another, but in one another. Can you hear the difference? He's asking for protection from those things that threaten to keep us from one another. And look around, friends. It doesn't take much time to find those things that keep us from one another. We have entire news networks on both the left and the right dedicated to keeping us from loving one another, keeping us from advocating for one another, keeping us from taking a step towards love in one another. We tell ourselves, well, I would, but they don't look like me or think like me or vote like me. They don't smell like me, and so I am not going to find my way into their lives. But that is not what we are called to do as people of faith. And in case we have forgotten what that meant, Jesus tells us the whole reason why he's sharing this with us. He says that my joy might be known in them. That his joy might be known in them. in us. It's not that we can't survive the other way. We can and we do. So many of us live our life just going through the motions in this swipe right culture. We do our best to just do what pleases us. And yet in that moment, we never fully live. Jesus wants us to find the joy of life, that abundant life that is promised in the gospel. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, we've taught an entire generation the mantra, just be yourself, which isn't so bad, except that it ignores an important part of what it means to be yourself. That is, we can't be ourselves apart from each other. We need each other in order to fully be who God intends us to be. We need each other, person to person, soul to soul, heart to heart, face to face. We can't do it through a screen. We have to find our way into each other's lives. That is when we find our way towards life. That is when we live. We are called to love. Love leads to life, which sounds so simple until you try it. Because we're not talking about the tiptoe through the tulips, heart-shaped boxes kind of love. We're talking about the love that makes you stand when you want to sit, go when you want to stay, speak when it would be so much easier to stay silent, or maybe for people who look like me to stay silent when we are so used to speaking. Jesus calls us to love not some people, but all people, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, trans and cis, citizen and non-citizen, and everyone beyond and between, because in so doing, we find life. It is the only way to find life together, one step towards each other at a time. Jesus prays that we might be sanctified in the truth. Sanctification, of course, is one of those $2 words for be made holy. We translate it as hallowed in the Lord's Prayer. If you want to know more, come to the school right across the street. I know somebody there. We pray that we might be made holy, which is to conform ourselves to the way of Christ, which is to take a step towards one another in love. It is the only way. John Paul Sartre might have been right when he said that hell is other people. But what Jesus is reminding us is that the opposite is also true. That every step we take towards another person in love, we catch a glimpse of heaven right here on earth. None of us start out in this world alone. We all need a little help from our friends. What makes us think that as we age, anything changes? Jesus closes this little part of our passage. He closes his prayer by reminding us of the generational connection. He prays this prayer not just for those who are right in front of him, but for everyone who will come to believe through them. Which, in case you're not picking up what I'm laying down, that includes us. Jesus is advocating for us. The good news, friends, is that he still is, which among many other things means that none of us has to face this life alone. Look, I don't know whether this is the lowest you've ever been or the highest you've ever been. Any given Sunday, people come on one extreme or the other or somewhere in between. But I do know this, no matter what you are facing, no matter what people have told you, no matter what you have been through or are going through or will go through, this same thing is true. You are not in this alone. You have an advocate who, by the grace of God, has been by your side since before you were formed in the womb, and by the grace of God will never leave you stranded. If we could all remember that, well, then we wouldn't have to wait until Mother's Day to find a reason to celebrate. May it be so. Amen.